We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs. The voice sounds a little different today, unfortunately, battling some allergies that won't seem to leave my nasal passages alone, but the voice still works, and we pray that today's message will be something that will be edifying to you. We want to say thank you to Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 632-9538, right here in Rockledge, Florida. They go all the way throughout the county. And with the crazy weather that we've had going on from cold to hot from hot to cold and then back to hot again, and I'm sure it'll be cold again before long, your air conditioning and heating unit may not know exactly what it's supposed to do on a daily basis. So I want to encourage you, give them a call, 632-9538. If it's working fine, you might want to call them and say, hey, I just want to have you come out and do a checkup on this unit, make sure that it stays working fine. Or if there's a malfunction, give them a call. They go all the way throughout the county. They work on outside units, internal air handlers, package units for mobile homes. They do all that sort of work and are very, very good at what they do. And I have nothing but the highest personal recommendation to give to Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 632-9538. Make sure you call this number. If you've had them out before, their old stickers might have a different number that would get you to someone different. So you want to give them a call at 632-9538, area code 321. So we want to take you in the Word today to Isaiah, the 52nd chapter. I'm not going to go completely verse by verse here, but I do want to touch on a few things that are in this passage. It's actually a chapter that has one of the most well-known passages of Scripture in it, and has references to our Messiah and the price that he paid. And so there's some things I want to touch on today. And so let me begin in Isaiah chapter 52. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 4, and then we will pick it up in verse number 5. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at first into Egypt to dwell there. Then the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, says the Lord, that my people are taken away for nothing? Those who rule over them make them wail, says the Lord. And my name is blasphemed continually every day. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know it in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. So, first of all, let me just apologize if you hear some congestion in my throat or anything like that. I'll do my best to minimize that today, but this passage here is a very challenging passage, because we as believers do not like to hear the name of the Lord blasphemed. We don't like to hear God blasphemed. Now, I want to tell you that the word blasphemy, it simply means this: to speak evil of. I don't like to hear people speak evil about God. I don't like to hear them blaspheme his name. I don't like to hear them blaspheme the word of God. I don't like to hear them blaspheme the people of God any more than I would like it if somebody was speaking evil of my wife or my children or my grandchildren. It doesn't do me any good at all. So I have this perspective that when my son made a commitment in his life that was going to be very rigorous and very intense, and it was going to require him to be away from home. He's a veteran. He went into the Army several years ago. He's out now, Very thankful for his service, and thank you to all you veterans for your service. But one of the issues that I struggled with was the son that I love was going to be sent to boot camp, and in that boot camp, they were going to be challenging him. They were going to be making all sorts of verbal assaults upon him. And I was like, I just don't really want my son being told what a worthless piece of human flesh he is. That just didn't set well with me. Some friends of mine, they had a daughter who went into the Air Force and just a top shelf young lady herself. And the first time she called home, she said, "Mom, I just don't understand why they are always yelling at me." And that, as a parent, that's hard to hear, you know, that people are talking bad about the one that you love. And so that's one of the things that makes marriages that where maybe one person wasn't a Christian, one person was a Christian, and they decided to get married. That's one of the things that I've always struggled with, is how do you deal with that when a person rejects this God that you love so much? Now, if you were married and one of you came to faith, I can understand that, because there's been a positive change. And the thing about that is, if there was positive change in one, then there's hope that there's positive change in the other. But I don't like to hear people speaking evil of God. That doesn't mean that I'm going to do what other people do and just go all postal and, you know, do all sorts of evil things over. They've got to answer for that. I don't. But this passage says that there was a time in Israel where people were constantly blaspheming. It says, blasphemed continually every day. And that is one of the things that takes place here in America right now. There are actually websites devoted to trying to help people to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. That's just absolutely insane to me as to why you would want to try and do that. But there are some people who are so have such disdain for themselves and for God that they say, I don't want his forgiveness, and so they go out and blaspheme. Now, I do want to tell you that God never blasphemes his name. It says that you cannot declare that Jesus is Lord without the Spirit of the Lord prompting that. It doesn't mean that the words can't cross your lips. It just simply means that you can't confess it, that it becomes not only the words coming out of your lips, but it's the lifestyle that you live as well. So how do you respond to a present reality where people are speaking evil about God, they speak evil about Jesus, they mock him, they make fun of him? How are we supposed to deal with that? And so, first of all, you need to realize that, let me turn back to Jude, because it will tell you here about what prompts these things. If I can find it here, it says in verse number 10, "But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beast, in these things they corrupt themselves." So it says here, "these speak evil of," that's blaspheme. "They blaspheme things that they do not understand and they do not know about." And so I want to ask you, the first thing is, if you hear somebody using words and speaking about God in a manner that you know is not right, I want you to begin to pray for them, and I want you to ask God to give you an opportunity to speak into their life in a manner that they will understand, a manner that will enlighten them, and instead of speaking evil of, they will come to embrace him. Look, the Apostle Paul did not have full understanding, and his actions reflected a zeal for what he thought he understood, but it wasn't until Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus that he began to really understand, hey, I may have this entirely wrong. And my thing with the Apostle Paul is, if God could save the most violent persecutor of the church and make him a valuable member of the body of Christ, who is still benefiting the Church of Jesus Christ in 2016, then God could still do that with those who are persecuting and speaking evil about God, his name, and his bride in 2016. He can still redeem those people who don't understand what's going on. So I take my authority that God has given me very seriously. And so a person that might come up and start speaking evil about my wife or my kids, they need to understand that that's probably going to change my demeanor. And I don't, you know, one of the things that does trouble me is when the church starts lashing out at other members of the church just because they may not understand what is going on. I don't want to do Satan's job. Satan's job is the accuser of the brethren. My job is to encourage, to edify, to correct, and to instruct in a spirit of meekness. I need to do those things. And so I want to be building people up. So this passage in Isaiah chapter 52, it says that because of the reality that God and his name were being spoken evil of or blasphemed continually, it says, therefore. Now, what comes after the therefore means that this is in direct response to the things that had happened before the therefore. It's a reaction. Because action A has taken place, therefore action B has come into being. Listen to what it says in verse number 6. Isaiah 52, verse number 6. Therefore, my people shall know my name. They shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. So when we hear people talking badly about God, speaking evil about things that they do not understand, speaking presumptuously, arrogantly, without hesitation, blaspheming the God that we love, the God who died for them to save them and set them free from all of their bondage. Our response is this: we need to be compelled to know God better. Not just to know about him, but to know him. I was reading an article. I didn't read the whole article yet. I've printed it out. It was one of those articles that was very long, and so I just glanced over it a little bit. But it said that if you want your church to grow in these times, that Christianity is not dying. But they have done studies, and they have found that churches who are conservative theologically, they hold to biblically traditional orthodox views, that those churches are still growing. Now, that may not mean that every congregation is growing, but that where mainline denominations, where many of them have abandoned the Word of God and the biblical principles, and now live opposite to the faith that their founders once created, those churches are in decline. I'm happy to report that the Assemblies of God is one of the denominations that is still growing in America. We actually have more adherents around the world than we do in America. We were founded to be the world's greatest missions organization, to be part of the greatest evangelistic effort that mankind had ever known. Over 100 years ago, that was the mandate with which the Assemblies of God was created. It is not just to build large churches. Most of the early Assembly of God churches were built where Azusa Street, it wasn't an Assembly of God church, but the Azusa Street Revival was in such a dilapidated building that at one point in time, there were so many people up there that they actually had a partial structural collapse. It wasn't because of the fancy structures. It was because that people came there to pray. They came there to hear from God, and they came there to leave transformed by the presence of the living God. So in this very evil time where it seems to be the predominant view to blaspheme God, our response is that action, that disdain for God, should be the very thing that propels us into knowing God better and knowing that He still speaks. You can either focus on the problem or you can focus on the opportunity. And I do remember a conversation I was having one time, and a person said that one person's failure is another person's opportunity. And so what I would like to build the faith of those of you who are listening today is this. When society all around is hostile towards God, it reveals that our harvest field has never been larger. Does it mean that the opportunity will be easy? Absolutely not. Does it mean that the opportunity will just automatically produce fruit? Not necessarily. It means we have the opportunity to come into the presence of God, know Him, know His heartbeat, and know what His word is that He wants us as His ambassadors to speak to this community. There is, as far as I can tell, it's been a long time since America has suffered such a dichotomy, such a division, where there's very little understanding on one side or the other side. And I want you to know that means that there is a great opportunity. So that leads us to a very prominent passage of Scripture. And what happens is when we know God and when we know His voice and we know that He's speaking, it sets before us a beautiful opportunity. Listen to verse number 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Your watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted His people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. So in the midst of this this reality that people are speaking evil of God and His name on a continual basis, God says, the people, my people, shall know my name, they shall know me, and they will know that I am speaking, and they will take the message of good news to those that need to hear it. Can I just give you a challenge today? And that is this. Find one piece of good news that you can share on a daily basis. Nobody gets tired of good news. So maybe you could, I'm not asking you to fabricate anything here, but maybe you could see a person and the outfit that they're wearing that day, looks especially well on them. And you could give them a compliment. You know, you look really nice today. And I know that some people might take that and say, oh, what, I don't look nice every day? But find something that you can share a piece of good news. Say, hey, I know that everybody's talking bad about everything that's going on. News agencies specifically like to focus on negative things because negative stories, tragedies, those drive ratings, and ratings generate advertising dollars, and that means that their salaries are paid. But I'm telling you, I think that there needs to be an overhaul in the news industry. This is something, I don't have the resources to do it, but if I did, this is what I would do. You see, I'm not, my strategy in life is not to duplicate what other people are doing, but to find what others are not doing and then do that. And when there is so much opinion going on, where there is so much debate that is going on, I think that we ought to have some opportunity to say, okay, here is what is going on. And so what if we reported the news and let people make up their own mind? Isn't that a novel thought? Instead of telling people what to think, we set before them the facts and the possibilities and say, okay, you make the decision. You see, my favorite professor when I was in college, he never taught us what to think. He taught us how to think. He said, you've got to examine all of the possibilities. And now, and honestly, I don't remember a single time in the class that he said, this is what you should believe right here. He presented it to you. He said, these are the strengths and the weaknesses of each view. Which one do you hold? And so when I went for my credentialing exam, they asked a question. They said, is man a dichotomous being or a trichotomous being? Is he divided into two parts or is he divided into three parts? Is he body and soul, or is he body, soul, and spirit? That was basically the question. And my response to that was that he is a trichotomy being, that there is spirit, that there is soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, and then there's our body. And you had to not just express your opinion, but you had to justify it from Scripture. And my justification from Scripture on that day was this. Look, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, it says that he is able to divide asunder between soul and spirit, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. And if the soul and the spirit can be separated, then that means that there is, you know, even though man may not be able to do it, God is able to do it. And that means that there's a threefold, that we are a threefold being created in the image of God, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, you and I, we need to have those good news. When you bring good news, it causes people to want to be around you. When all you hear is bad news, it makes people not want to be around you. And so in this day and time where everybody is speaking evil about God, a God they don't know, a God they don't understand, a God whose word they've rejected, what better opportunity for us to create a people of distinction than be a people who bring good news? Instead of waiting for them to come to earth, to come to us, let me get my mouth together. Instead of waiting for them to come to us, we are actually going to them. And it describes that people who bring good news as having beautiful feet. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. So let's make it a daily habit of finding some good news that we can share. Finding some good news that we can share. By the way, I will tell you this. The word gospel means good news. Good news. The fact that Jesus came, and right now, I want to prepare you. We're in the month of December now, and in the month of December, society is more open to the things of Christ than any other time. It's almost as if they give us kind of a season, a window of opportunity to play Christmas carols. And some of those Christmas carols have profound messages of salvation in them. They are wonderful theological discourses. And so there are people who won't go to church any other time of the year, but they will go to church during Christmas. And so I want to challenge you to get into the Word of God and say, look, do you realize that Jesus died for me while I was still his enemy? And so even though people might be speaking badly about him, he still died for them to save them and set them free. So what do we bring besides good news? There's a number of declarations here. I'm going to try and share these with you real quickly before the end of the program, who proclaim peace. You know, when people are dealing with insecurity, one of the greatest things that they can hear about is peace. Who bring glad tidings of good things. Okay? So I'm not asking you to compromise the message of salvation. Salvation is a good thing. It says, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. There are so many people right now who are despondent because they think that their whole world is going to fall apart. You need to let them know that the God that they do not understand, the God that they do not know, the one that they have not yet heard, the one that the Holy Spirit has not yet managed to convict of their sins, even though he is working on them, they are a work in process. He is telling us, you and I need to be fulfilling the Great Commission, going into all the world, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, and letting them know that there is peace, there is good news, there is salvation, and God is still on the throne. Today, as you're going about this Tuesday, I want you to know something. Your God reigns. He's not lost control. He's not retired. He's not lost his mental faculties. He's still sitting upon the throne, and he's very good at what he does. God bless you today. May the peace of God rule and reign in your heart. See you tomorrow, right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.